you know, you were talking about search engine optimization. I had this visual thing of you sitting on the couch at night at home with your wife. She looks across at you and you're smiling away and she says, "Darling, what are you smiling about?" And you go, "Oh, I was just thinking about search engine optimization. It makes me so happy."
Well, thanks, David. That conjuring up that image. I'm more likely to have a smile when I've... Sometimes you're not far off the mark there, actually.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of David versus David, the podcast aimed at the small business person to help you work around the problems that you're facing and get answers from other people. Myself and David from Paradise in Tasmania, who help other people just like you with problems just like yours. So it's hello from me in the UK, and it's...
Hello from me in beautiful Tasmania. Hello and welcome to Paradise.
David, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. Yeah, I can't complain, mate. It's been very, very busy lately, and we love busy. Busy's our favourite way of being, although not exactly opposed to... cooking barbecues and lying by the pool, either.
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing at the moment. Well, we haven't got the pool, but we've got the barbecue and we've got the nice sunny weather. So we're making the most of that. And just to put a time frame on this, we've just finished Wimbledon in the UK with a British win. First time in many years that we've had a British guy win Wimbledon, and seems set fair to maybe win a few more tournaments over the next few years with Mr. Murray there. Of course, as you mentioned on the preamble to this off-air a few minutes ago, we're partway through the Tour de France. Again, Britain seemed to be out there in front at the moment, but there's a way to go yet. You can see plenty of opportunity for that to change.
I know. Have I missed some sort of tear in the time-space continuum? An Englishman's won Wimbledon. The British and Irish Lions beat us at rugby union. You're doing well at cycling. Oh, my God, what's gone wrong? Aussie, 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 come on.
You know what's coming next, don't you?
Yes, I know the Ashes is on, and
the Ashes, the cricket for everybody. You know, the England versus Australia, been playing for 100-something-odd years now of the Ashes tournaments, and we've won, I think, the last three, which could mean this could be the first time in hundreds of years or something that we actually win four on the trot if we keep our act together.
But in all fairness, though, David, they didn't count because we weren't trying.
Oh, that's what you always say when you lose, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we were, in fact, we weren't allowed to bat with bats. We were batting with jumpers wrapped around their arm.
Oh, I've heard it all now. Really have heard it all. Well, look, let's crack on with some content that our listeners may actually want to hear instead of this rubbish that we're talking about.
Actually, before we start, I just might mention that I have run out of English jelly babies. I brought a whole heap back from when I was on holidays. And I officially ran out this week, so I am accepting bribes of English jelly babies. They are beautiful.
I might see if I can locate some and put them in the post to you.
I might have to put a picture of the packet. I actually took a picture of the packet on my phone, so I might have to put that up.
I wonder if they'd make it through customs, because you're not supposed to import foodstuffs into Australia, are you?
No, jelly-based lollies are okay. It's fruit that they tend to frown on. You know, salami, not very keen on that. And, you know, the odd cow. I think they're really hard on cows.
Okay, there's no way I'm sticking a cow in the post here. It'd be cruel for one thing. So, anyway, this week's topic is blogging, newsletters and email.
Oh, we love all of those.
They're all good things. Let's talk about some of the differences. Let's get your view on some of the differences and some of the different scenarios that some are more appropriate and more useful than others, perhaps.
Okay, well, let's start with newsletters because I believe, controversially, brace yourself for it, I believe that newsletters in this day and age are actually dead. Dead as a dodo. Oof. Because why would you wait a month and assemble a whole heap of information that you can send out to somebody in a Facebook post or in a blog or in an email and be able to do it with a sense of immediacy? No, I think I'll hang on to it for a month and wait and then I'll send it out because that's convenient and that's helpful to my clients. Tish tosh. So newsletters, I think, are dead ducks. If you're producing a newsletter, go outside, take a long, hard look at yourself and ask yourself what you're doing wrong. Use Facebook for what it's meant for. Use a blog. Use email marketing and forget about hanging on to stuff for long periods of time. Now, email marketing, I think email marketing had a bit of a speed wobble a few years ago because it was really getting abused. But these days, done sensibly, is very, very effective. And I actually like email marketing done in conjunction with video.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. And blogs. Look, I also like blogs done with video. I think I just like video. But whether a blog is written or whether it's a video or even an audio blog, let's face it, a podcast is really just an audio blog anyway.
I
think that they're fantastic. And you know, one of the things that I like most about blogging is that it's on your website. Because you can have your blog pushed to your Facebook page to your LinkedIn connections, or you can have parts of it go out through your Twitter feed, but all of that information resides on your website. So the knowledge is still inside of your fortress. So if something goes wrong with anything else, you've still got it. You haven't lost it or wasted it.
It's your asset again. I mean, we talk about this over various episodes in this podcast about building assets. And if you're building your website up with more content over time, whether that's in the form of pages or product information, or as we've just mentioned, blogging, where you add posts on a either regular, irregular, frequent, infrequent basis, whatever, you are building content that is yours. And as you just said, within your fortress, your asset, it's something that is, I guess in a way, it's almost like an archive of your what would have been newsletters in the past. It's like coming along and saying, hey, here's a bound copy of the last 150 newsletters. Only, of course, people can search through and find what they want a lot more quickly. They'll find related engaging content and so on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, asset building is a huge thing. It's yours. It's not somebody else's.
Absolutely. Searchable and also helps you with your search engine optimization.
Indeed. The more, I mean, that's one of my favourite things in life in general, actually, is search engine optimization. Sounds a bit sad, but it's true. the more content you have on your website, the more things that search engines can find you for on your website. So, you know, the more variations of the phrases that you want to be found for will crop up in Google, Bing and Yahoo, et cetera, et cetera. And the more chance you get of being found by potential customers.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that is critical when you're talking in the online world. So you can see why it's so much more important to be doing that than it is to be hoarding that information and sending a newsletter out. Now, admittedly, you can have a newsletter that basically has all of the information on your webpage. A newsletter doesn't have to be something that is paper bound, but you've just got to look at it and say, well, why am I hanging on to it for a month? Actually, yeah. just before I say anything else, you were talking then, and I had this, you were talking about search engine optimization. I had this visual thing of you sitting on the couch at night at home with your wife. She looks across at you and you're smiling away and she says, darling, what are you smiling about? And you go, oh, I was just thinking about search engine optimization. It makes me so happy.
Well, thanks, David, for conjuring up that image. I'm more likely to have a smile when I've... Sometimes you're not far off the mark there, actually. Not quite as sad as that, but there are times when... I think you actually mentioned this before, then, the number of people that sat in front of the TV, perhaps, and they also have an iPad that they're dabbling away on, and occasionally I'll just type a search phrase that I know I ought to be ranking for, and lo and behold, I find that one of the sites that I manage is ranking nicely for the keyword I want it to, and that's that would bring a smile to my face. So it does happen, David.
And you know what the really sad thing about that is?
Go on.
I understand what you mean. Yeah. I'd be sitting there smiling about that too.
Yeah, indeed. What? Any difference is you're sat there in a suit of armour, but that's a totally different story.
Oh, yes, the suit of armour. Pride of place in my house now. I am the proud owner of a suit of armour. Wanted one since I was seven. It's here. and it's up. David's seen it. It's awesome. Does that sound a little weird?
Let's move on. Let's move on. So you're going to have to stick a picture of that on your website now, aren't we? The davidversusdavid.com website.
Yeah, we can do that.
All our listeners can see David in a suit of armour.
Not in a suit of armour, next to a suit of armour.
Oh, okay then. Okay. Hey, you know, you were just talking about how you like doing videos now, but that would be a cracker. Let's have you coming on screen from left-hand side wearing a suit of armour.
I'll tell you a funny story, actually, and I realise we're getting slightly off track. I was on a television shoot today. We were making a new television commercial for one of our clients. And in between takes, so while they were doing the setup for the next take, I was recording a video email that I send out to all of my clients every week. In fact, I was talking about the new privacy information, and I was so engrossed in making this video, which I was just shooting on my phone, because as I was standing there today, you could see the big Mount Wellington behind me in the background. So it was a perfect little backdrop, and I thought, oh, sod it, I'll do one of these while I'm waiting. And I was so engrossed in what I was doing that I turned around only to find that they'd gone for the next take, and I was in the middle of the scene. Oh, more than a little embarrassing there, so I
serves you right.
Off. Yes. Anyway, but that does take me back to email marketing. I email market to my clients, and I do it using video emails. And one of the things that I do with video emails is I have a piece of software in the background that allows me to see who has watched the video, how many times they watched it, if they watched and repeated any different parts of it. And this is all great information because it means that then if I know what it is that they like and what it is that they need, then I can provide that to them in subsequent emails that I send out and give them better quality information in my emails.
Okay. I mean, that's a good point, actually. Software that's out there now that records information of how people watch your videos, you can work out, it can become blindingly obvious that if you can see where people stop watching your videos, for example. So if you have a 15-minute video and everybody switches off after 2 minutes, you know that you're talking and waffling on for 13 minutes too long. You need to make shorter videos. And as you say, you can also see the parts that people find most engaging because they either listen to them again or watch them again over that part. Or perhaps there's actually a problem with the video. Maybe there's something that's too quiet. You know, they have to re-listen or they have to watch again. So maybe it's time to look at that video again and see if it can be improved in any way in that particular area.
Absolutely. That's a very good point because there are two things that you touched on there that we actually did in our own videos. When we first started making them, they were about 5 minutes long. And we could see that people were dropping out at about 3 minutes. So now our videos are between 90 seconds long and 3 minutes long. So 3 minutes is a very long video for us to do. So that was one piece of feedback that we got out of it. And we also put into each video that we send out a reminder that if a customer, because we ask for referrals, you should always ask for referrals in your business. If you're not asking for referrals, this is a whole podcast of its own, but you must ask your customers for referrals. That's the sort of relationship that you should have with your customers so that you can get it. But we did notice that we were putting that message at the end. And, of course, they watched it the first video. They watched it but started to drop out of it in the second video. And by the third video, I'd started talking about it and they dropped out of it. So what we did was is we moved that to the start of the video. And instead of just asking for a referral, we started thanking people for the referrals that they were giving us, naming their business and thanking them for, you know, thanks, you know, Dougie from Office Equipment Warehouse, who provided us with a referral to a client that we're off to see next week, and we're shooting Dougie a bottle of wine. So we identify them, we tell them what the reward is that we're sending them, and then we remind them, if you've got a referral, then all you need to do is put us in touch with that client. You can let us know, or you can let them know about us, and whether they become a client of our business or not, we provide our client, our referrer, with a reward. So we've whacked that right at the very front of the video, so we get that message out there straight away, and then we get into the information piece. But we tease the information piece at the very start so that they don't just dump out of it again.
Indeed. I mean, stuff like you've just mentioned there, the referral piece, you want to keep it short and snappy. Get the point across. And something that was a trend a little while ago was quite often you get to the end of a video and then you get like the little outro bit, you know, the little flashy graphic that whatever, with a follow on, people putting a follow on piece of a special offer or even just a funny, an outtake or something like that. But of course, if people get to that little outro bit where the video bit flashes across and the logo pops up or whatever, they kind of switch off then quite often. You have to just make it clear that, you know, there's something worth hanging around for, and make sure it is worth hanging around for as well, right at the end of the video. So
yeah, absolutely.
Like you say, tease people on. Give them the teaser, but make it clear that it's going to be worth looking at.
And as we've spoken about before, it's all about the story. And the reason that we keep coming back to this, and the, like you were saying about the teasing and the hooking people through, this is programming. This is what radio stations do. It's what television stations do. It's about hooking people through so that they come with you on that journey, so that you tell them the story and get them to the part that you want to get them to. And if you're not doing that, then you're not thinking about how you're communicating with people. And I know a lot of people can be, they find it uncomfortable to do that. But that's why you plan it. Write down a series of dot points. Work out what it is that you're doing. Don't rush to get it done. You know, this is not a race. This is about getting quality product into the hands of your customers so that they will buy what it is that you want them to buy. So, you know, formulate your story. If you're recording a video to use in a blog or in an email, then the best thing to do is record it, watch it back, and if you're not happy with it, then record it again or record part of it again so that you can edit it in. You've got to remember, don't try for perfection all of the time. And I realise that this sounds sort of somewhat contradictory. There's got to be some sort of fine line where you go, you know, well, that's about as good as it's going to get. It might not be perfect, but I'm not perfect. But you don't want it as rough as bags so that people watch it and go, oh, my God, this is just not professional at all. You know, this looks like, you know, he's had one of his children make it. Well, you know, that's the beauty of doing these things. If you make a mistake, you can do it again. There's so many do-overs when you're recording video or audio that, you know, you're only limited by your own time. And if you find that you're getting frustrated, that you're making the same mistake over and over again, and I can tell you as somebody who worked in radio, that happens. Your brain just gets into loop and you can't get out of it. Then stop. Stop everything you're doing. Go and have a cup of coffee or a drink or do something else and come back to it, because your brain will have reset.
Even just give up and come back tomorrow. If you've got enough time, quite often your brain switches into subconscious thinking overnight, and then it switches. You know, tomorrow will be a different day. Old phrase: tomorrow is often a different day, and it does work. You can come back with something fresh. Why didn't I think of that yesterday? Well, you were just in a loop that was never going to get out of it.
That's right. Now, when it comes to topics, let me also say, you know, for your blog, and we've spoken about this before for emails, have a plan. Have a plan of the things that you're going to talk about. And once again, it's got to be focused on what is important for your customers. We did some work for a veterinary clinic just recently. And we gave them, so we're not even in the veterinary business. We're in the marketing business, and we still came up with 25 pages of different blog topics that they could blog about inside their business. And they were just the ones that we thought of off the top of our head. So if we could think about them, then anyone can think about them. But you know, once again, it's not a race. Take your time. Work your way through it. The reason that you read other books, or you can read marketing books, or you can read inspirational books, is because they give you ideas. When it comes to advertising and marketing, I like going and watching movies because I get to see visually the things that people do, and that sparks ideas in me. Look around for ideas. Be open to ideas as you walk around all of the time, and just write them down. You're not necessarily going to use it the next day or the day after, but it's there. You've captured it. You can go back to it, and it becomes an idea starter that you can use at a different time. So it's important to soak all of these things in. My brother once said to me, he said, oh, God, you're lucky. You know, you've done this, and you've done this, and you've done this. And I said, mate, I'm not lucky. I'm just walking around with my eyes open and taking advantage of opportunities as they present themselves, whereas my brother doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hugh.
Yeah. just on a quick side note there, a tip, perhaps for some people, a technique I use is to use some software called mind mapping software.
Yes, I've got that too.
I sort of write the core thought down, the basic thing I'm supposed to be thinking about. And then you just draw lines out. I mean, you can do this, you don't have to use software. You can use pen and paper, but it's more messy when it goes a bit wrong and you want to move things around. But you can start off with, thought A, and then another branch that comes off thought B, and another branch that comes off thought C. And then maybe you think about something, you think, oh, that's kind of like a sub-branch of thought B. So you end up with sort of the branch that's branch B turns into all these extra little subdivisions coming off the end, and then maybe one of the two of those lead to other things and so on. And you find that using that, your thoughts kind of get organized into like logical divisions where, you know, things are related in the right order to each other, and you'll end up one or two original main thoughts. You'll suddenly have expanded that into about 25 different things in maybe three groups of eight or nine, and there you've suddenly got blog posts. They're in categories, you know, it just all sorts to sort of tumble into some degree of sense, and is a very productive way. In the sort of the course of an hour, you can come up with so much future content to keep you busy at that side of things for months on end. So
if you've listened to all of our podcasts so far, you all know how easy it is for people's brains to take a left turn and birth a whole new series of ideas. David and I start out with something that we want to talk about every week when we start to record a podcast, and invariably we end up travelling down a couple of other roads. I had a very smart sales and marketing guy that I learnt a lot from, and he said, at the start of any journey, you stand at the bottom of the hill and you look up the mountain. He said, but the way to get to the top of the mountain is not always the most direct route. So you've got to go and take all of those side branches and, you know, and learn from them as you go and turn them into ideas and product.
And sometimes you never quite know what you're going to discover along the way when you take the winding path like that.
I agree.
So it's all good stuff. Are there business scenarios where a blog or the blogging technique is better than email technique or Facebooking or the newsletters, which, as you said at the beginning, are dead? Do different methods suit different businesses better than others?
Yes and no, because there are different scenarios. You've got to remember, these are tools. What you've just described is a whole range of tools that you can use to communicate with people. So they're all different ways to reach different people. So no one is necessarily right or wrong for any particular business, but what they are right or wrong for is different types of messages and different types of groups of people. As we've discussed before, it's about the niche that you're trying to reach out to. So if you're trying to reach a group of 75-year-old nanas, and you're trying to communicate with them about the care of their cats, then perhaps blogging is not the way to go. And perhaps email is not the way to go. In fact, even newsletters, probably not the way to go. However, surprisingly, Facebook might be. And I only say that because of the amount of cat stuff that appears in my inbox every day from a Facebook point of view. Now, look, I am kidding, but you can see what I mean. A 75-year-old cat-loving nana is unlikely to be a great electronic communicator. There will be some. I know there are people who are sitting out there going, oh, my nana loves Facebook. She's on it all of the time. But you've got to think about these things as being part of a bell curve. And a bell curve is very thin at one end and very thin at the other, and the greater bulk of people sit at the centre. So, you know, don't try and justify an argument with an extreme position. Try and find where the greatest amount of people are. And if the greatest amount of cat-loving nanas are in the centre of that bell curve and they read the local senior's news, then that's where you should be putting your message.
Yeah.
Now you can direct them to other areas where they can interact with you more, but you're never going to get someone to go and do something that they don't do. You know, the old cliche of you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Well, you know, you can't force someone to go to a website if they don't see the value in it. So the answer is yes and no.
Right, okay. And you, I guess, as you were just saying there, you get different markets where maybe one market, the demographic, maybe they use mobile phones more or iPads or tablet devices and so on, where maybe they also use video. They expect to see videos for the topics they're interested in. That's what they're more attuned to. You know, first thing they want to see is something visual rather than something written.
Hmm.
You know, there are ongoing discussions and arguments about the effectiveness of email to the younger generation, for example, where they are perhaps more lined in with messaging and Facebook and Twitter and so on.
And video.
Yeah. So
everyone likes video. We've just spent, you know, a couple of generations teaching people to watch video via television. And yeah, before that, you know, watch it at the movie theatres. So, you know, someone else has already done a lot of this work for you. All you've got to do is find a way to embrace it for your business.
Yeah. So nothing's wrong, but some things are more right than others.
Yes, that's all kind pigs of what are equal, saying, but wasn't it? Some pigs are more equal than others. That's exactly right. Thank you, George Orwell. That's exactly right.
Okay, Dave, anything else you want to cover on this one? Because I think we're kind of getting to the end of this episode.
No, I'm sure we'll talk about more stuff that relates to these specific methods of communication. But really, I can't stress enough that for the greater bulk of people that I help, newsletters, and especially the paper form newsletters,
mm-hmm,
you know, they're a dead duck. I still get a lot of people that send me newsletters into my inbox via email every day. And honestly, I don't read them. And I don't give them much more than a cursory glance because they're usually poorly written. They don't understand the power of the headline and how to engage people from that point of view. So, mm-hmm, you know, you should just be sending out a series of briefer messages that will hopefully engage people. And if you can do it, use video. Use that training that's gone in that someone else has paid for.
Yeah, indeed, absolutely. And I think actually just final comment on newsletters. The number of corporate newsletters I've seen where they proudly announce episode one or newsletter one, newsletter two, newsletter three. You know, maybe it's a monthly newsletter, maybe it's a quarterly newsletter, and they rarely make it beyond about six publications, if you like. And I think partly, this is just supposition, but I wonder if that's partly the effort involved in aggregating all the different bits of information to make a worthwhile newsletter, whereas people would actually be far happier receiving that same information in shorter snippets over time.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, it is difficult to aggregate all of that information together, and because of the time factor between editions, they don't see genuine response coming out of their effort. So they both lose interest and they lose enthusiasm, and then the negative naysayers within a business go, yeah, I told you that was a bad idea, and it's a dead duck. Whereas if you were having frequent and regular communication with your database and you were getting feedback from your customers, then you know it's much easier to maintain that enthusiasm, to put the naysayers back in their box, and to be looking for new things to talk to your database about.
And also, just on another final point, gosh, this is my second or third final point, but sorry about that, listeners. If you have a newsletter with, say, I don't know, 30, even 10 different parts to it, different articles, topics, whatever, anybody reading that is likely to comment on one of them. If you send out 10 emails or 10 blog posts or 10 Facebook posts, chances are some people will actually comment on all of them, or 8 out of 10 of them, or at least 3 out of 10 of them. You increase the level of engagement for each individual part because the relevance is there, the immediacy of it is there, and people will respond much more likely to that on a point-by-point basis than having received everything all in one go. I guess it's a bit like people writing a letter to the newspaper. Newspapers are full of information, pages and pages and pages of it, but if anybody actually ever writes to them, it's about one thing. Whereas if they read something, one article at a time, chances are, I agree with that, I'll add my comment in there, I'll like it even, you know, just a Facebook like actually counts for quite a lot. You're engaging more frequently, more regularly, on an individual point-by-point basis with people.
Yep, have a relationship with your customers, engage them in something that's important to them. Remember, marketing is not about you and it's not about your business, it's about your customer.
Indeed. On that note, David, I think we should call it a wrap.
Absolutely. All right. All you squirrels, back in the box.
He's back on the squirrels again. Where's this come from? He's been watching too much Monty Python, surely.
You know the story about the squirrels and the moose. And one day I'll tell the listener the story of the squirrel and the moose. But that's not for today.
Let's leave that as the teaser for next week's episode. Or a future episode, anyway.
A future episode.
Indeed. So, people, if you've enjoyed this episode, please go visit iTunes and give us a nice big thumbs up. If you want to visit our website, www.davidversusdavid.com, or visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/davidversusdavid. Leave some comments, give us thumbs up, or tell us we're doing something right or wrong. We don't mind. It'd be nice to hear from you either way around. So, from David here in the UK, Paradise Northern branch of the planet, it's goodbye, and over to David in Tasmania.
Goodbye from me in Paradise. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Until next time, Paradise is waiting for you.
You have just been listening to the David vs. David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.